And welcome, everybody, to another fantastic Halloween edition of Your Grinders. I am your host, Frankenstein Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts. I don't even know a nickname for you, Breakman. Breakman the Baddie.
You should have written this out beforehand.
Eric and the Monstrous.
It sounds like you thought about your name and then the rest of us.
Lug,
like,
the harmonica demon lord.
No.
Yeah, you should have gone with like Beastly, the Beastly Breakman.
Beastly. Beastly Breakman, I like that. And
the Monstrous Mug. God. Yeah,
thanks for ruining it. I had it queued up. And
whoa.
But it's all good.
Back that train up.
You're
don't
the host
blame him for ruining it. You're the one who stumbled.
No.
I just did that off the top of my head.
No, I was going to do Monstrous Mug, and I had Eerie Eric, but I forgot Breakman. So I had one for Breakman, too, but I just...
Breakman the Busted?
No, Beastly. Beastly's fine. Beastly Breakman.
Wolfman. And ladies and gentlemen, last and certainly least, the flatulent Frank.
Oh, how about Break you. Wolfman? What do
how
you think,
dare you?
Frank?
You go, Frank. How about
Frank the Crank?
How dare you guys? Let's just
get we have instead of Cranky Kong, we have Frankie Kong.
Oh God! How dare you guys? How dare you all? I hate you all. You know, I really hate you all. All right.
Love.
Let's get started with...
Don't make me come in there and give you hate hugs.
Yeah. Oh, God. Don't even think about doing that. I'll throw up on you, man. All right. Here we go, guys. Let's get started with the news on this wonderful Halloween weekend. We got plenty of stuff for y'all. Lots to talk about, lots in the news, lots of Halloween stuff. So let's go ahead and start the news, Eric.
News is starting from RPG Site. This is about Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth. Hacker's Memory is got a launch date for the US and the Europe, and that'll be January 19th. And it'll be available for PlayStation 4. It's digital only on the Vita. Surprised they didn't just push it to... Well, it's better than just doing a straight-up shitty port from a Vita to a Switch, because they could have done a Switch version of this.
Yeah.
Which is what Koei Tecmo did with Azure Knights 2, and it's not that good.
Mm. All right.
I mean, I'm thankful that it's better performing, but they barely did anything to it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to the next story, because that's kind of disappointing. Maybe this won't be disappointing. Breakman.
Coming to us live from RPG Site, Sway, the Ilvard Insurrection releases for PC on October 31st.
German word for two.
Zai? Oh, okay.
Also, I wish they could have just called it two.
Yeah, well, it's like the reason it's like it's the word is it's Zvi, like Z, it's pronounced like Zvai, like Zvi.
Zvi, okay.
Yeah, it's but like what's funny Steve is Vi. It's like Zvi is like it's normally written with like two exclamation points, but it's like this is the second game in the series, which the first one never came out in the U.S. So they called this one the Ilvard Insurrection, which abbreviates nicely to Zvi Roman numeral 2. Like, yeah. Oh, that's cute. It's clever.
I got that review. All right. When I get done with that, there'll be a review of that.
Sweet. All right, let's continue with the story.
I like that title now. It's kind of clever.
Yeah.
Roman numeral 2 like that. I can't wait. Anyway, the Humble Store on October 31st for GOG and Steam and Windows PC. The game will launch for 10% off. Regular selling price is $29.99 in American dollars. $29.99 in euros and $24.99 in pounds. The new HD port features visual improvements as well as two thousand never before voiced lines in the English localization. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's decent. Anyways, all right. I think that's all we need on that. Mug, next story, please.
All right, coming to us from Gematsu. Reverie is coming to PS4, or at least it would do if my finally something fucking loads up. Is an Earthbound and Legend of Zelda inspired action adventure game announced back in September for PS Vita, and it really, really looks like Earthbound.
I know. I was gonna say it does look like Earthbound.
It's kind of skirting the edge of like, you know, like this goes a little beyond homage and where it might be considered kind of ripping off.
I agree.
They are hurting from Rev 3 so badly they make their own games.
Both the PS4 and PS Vita versions will be released first digitally with limited quantity physical editions to follow. Physical edition will include a manual, map, and physical soundtrack CD in addition to the copy of the game on disc or cartridge. Accompanying the PS4 announcement is the reveal of a new area called Butler's K, where the most notable landmarks are the cemetery and the church, which are based off of early New Zealand architecture and history, such as the Christ Church in Russell.
Okay.
That's the end of this. That is the end of it. But yeah, okay. It is very, very shameless in its inspirations. I mean, it's even more directly, you know, inspired by, I do that kind of scare quotes about around inspired. It's even more directly inspired by Earthbound than Undertale was.
Yeah. Freakenstein in chat says, I had a friend who, when she played Earthbound, her favorite food was cake, and her favorite thing was sodomy. Wow. That's, wow.
So that's a big dog signal would get kicked out of.
So tell us more about your friend.
Yeah, exactly. Was she
hot? She's like, I like cake and sodomy. I need to do this first.
Right, exactly. All right, let's move on to the next story that hopefully doesn't have sodomy in the title. This comes to us from Gamatsu. Shin Megami Tensei 5, sodomy. No, I'm just kidding. Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Shin Sodomy Tensei.
Yeah,
okay, I would be more interested in that game. Really?
Shin Megami Tensei 5 will be a game that sympathizes with the times. Latest issue of Famitsu formally announced the game for Switch yesterday, which was the day before now, I think. The tidbits are as follows. I'll just read the first one because it's a long list of tidbits. But
it's an analog to Persona 5.
First Shin Megami Tensei title was released October 25 years ago. We wanted to tell everyone that Shin Megami Tensei series will continue, so we use this timing to make the announcement. So there you go. One of the directions we're taking with it is to re-examine the, quote, characteristics of the era. There are surely many people frustrated by troubles both at home and abroad, such as anxiety about finding a job and getting old, or terrorist and nuclear weapons.
Shitty prime ministers.
I don't want a game about finding a job and having to deal with, like, the news, fake news, and shit
well,
like that.
Well, you're gonna be doing demon summoning. You're just gonna have to deal with people who are dealing with that.
Oh my god, I gotta get to chat here in a second, but I want to make a Shin Megami Tensei game that can sympathize with such an era. That's our challenge. Kind of appropriate for the times. But Shin Megami games are great. I'm glad this is coming out on the Switch. I want to get to something in chat here. Weiland said he saw Nosferatu for the first time last night.
I think it would have been great if they had made a multi-platform for the PS4.
Yeah, let me finish.
Does he mean the original?
What?
Yeah, like the old silent movie with what was the character's name? Like Max Trek or something like that?
Yeah, I think that movie's great. I was doing another show at another point in time in my life where I got pushed back on that movie. Nobody liked it but me, but I can appreciate the silent movies. I like the version of Nosferatu, not the original, but there's one with an orchestral score put in the background that makes it like a lot better.
This is a little bit off topic, but actually reminds me of something. You know the old silent movie Battleship Potemkin?
No, I do not.
It's very, obviously it's a silent movie, it's very old. But yeah. It's like there was a thing where it's like, someone made an alternate soundtrack for that movie. That's your, you know, meant to just, you start it up as the movie starts, and it's meant to play over it. It's like Pet Shop Boys made an alternate sound, like they released an album that was called Battleship Potemkin. It's just meant to be a soundtrack to that.
And,
very strange.
Five's exiled. Let's see. It's he says, are you sure you weren't looking at a video, Frank? And Weiland says it was at a screening that also had stage show with local horror host Sammy Terry. With a live organist playing along with the movie. That would have been fucking phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
I would have loved to have seen that. That's that awesome, Weiland.
But I will say that, yes, I'm certain that I wasn't looking at a video of Frank because my lunch is still in my stomach.
How dare you? How dare you, exiled. All right, next story, Mug, since you opened your mouth.
Well, Yomi Osakuhana has been delayed to spring 2019 in Japan for all none of you who knew what that was. it's an Xbox One dungeon RPG with no screenshots. And it's like the game was first announced as a non-dungeon RPG planned for release in spring 2017, then was delayed to 2018 as the genre was changed to a dungeon RPG. That's literally the entirety of the story.
So experience makes what they... been known to do dungeon RPGs. I didn't even know it was a non-dungeon RPG. I think we just heard about it and that's it.
Yeah. And in the comments people are like, yeah, vaporware, and I'm like, it's gonna get canned.
It probably won't get canned. They just will shift it from the Xbox to something else.
Let's talk about something that probably won't get canned, Eric. Next story
is about Death Ed Requests, and it's launching March 1st in Japan next year. And if you really want me to talk about the voice actors that we don't know, because I don't know too many Japanese seiyuu, but otherwise, standard edition is going to cost 7,200 yen, and the limited edition will cost 10,200 yen.
All right. There you go. So it's got not much details on it, so we'll probably get more next week or the week after Death End Requests. All right, next story.
It looks like it's using a little bit of a revised engine from that one other game that they did. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it was called. But Trillion. That's what it was.
Freak 5 is exiled again, you son of a bitch. Next story, Breakman.
Huh? What? Next story?
Yeah.
Coming to us live from Gomatsu, Deathmark coming to PS4 and Switch. PS Vita Horror Adventure coming to more platforms with new elements. Experience is bringing its horror adventure game,
Sheen? Sheen is like a... Yeah, it's like it's just the vowel sound is held twice as long as Sheen.
Okay. We're Deathmark to PlayStation 4 and Switch, the latest issue of Weekly Famatsu.
Yeah. So that's cool. It looks cool. It's got kind of a dark vibe to it, which I...
Yeah, PlayStation 4 will launch on January 18th. It'll cost 5,800 yen, standard edition, and 7,800 for the limited edition. Switch version will be out in 2018.
Is this coming out to North America? Because this was...
I don't know, but considering all Experience's games to date, like since Operation Abyss.
Okay.
I'd say it's highly likely.
All right. Well, I'm down. I should have the Switch by then too. All right. Next story, Eric.
Starly Girls, a game called Starly Girls, a strategy RPG is in development for consoles, and Kadokawa Games is developing it for smartphones in partnership with G-Craft, and it's planned for release on console. Yeah. And the role of a captain in a super gravity warship Asterism, together with vice captain Hoshi Musume, Stargirls. Known as Starly Girls.
Ass tourism. All right. Sounds like a burgeoning market.
Ass tourism. Sweet. I'm totally down.
Anyways.
I'm behind players, that market.
Players operate unique mecha known as G-Gears and fight against the fate to bring back the shine of the stars. And if I remember correctly, G-Craft was the company that made Ark Glad.
So like they're fighting to bring the, they're bringing fighting to bring back the shine of the stars. And like the first thing when I think when I hear that,
yeah, that whole deal. All right,
I need to play a Katamari Damacy in the sequel one day.
Oh, Katamari is a great game, man. I love that.
Good games.
All right,
utterly bizarre and fun.
Yeah, totally fun. You had a game called Everything that sort of reminded me of that.
It's got the same kind of visual.
Yeah,
Everything was a very enjoyable game.
Yeah, it's a great game. All right, next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Metal Max Xeno announced for the PS4 and Vita. Wow, this is the third update. I know we've talked about this before. The new
No, we haven't actually.
I think we have had a story.
No, we have not.
I think we
it's
have.
It's just been
updated
three times since the story broke.
I think we have, sir. Anyways,
we've talked about Metal Max before, but not this one.
Oh, maybe that's something different. Maybe that's what I was thinking of. Let's see. New post-apocalyptic RPG tease for the PS4, PS Vita last week is Metal Max Xeno. Here's a list of the staff. Yoshimi Yasuda, Hiroshi Miyaoka is the director. The producer is Juntaro Kuno. Music is Satoshi Katakura. I should have given this one the break, man. Character design, Oda Nan. Monster design, Atsuji Yamamoto. So there you go. It'll be launching in Japan spring of 2018. So that's cool. There's new details about the game content, and you can look at all that stuff.
I want to air my grievances with this game right now.
Okay.
I've not played a single Metal Max except for like watching footage of Metal Saga, but which is unfortunately the only Metal Max game we got in the U.S. and didn't do well because that one had a terrible translation that Atlas provided, and two, it wasn't the best game in the series. And because the other games are far more insane and interesting, and this game looks like it's stripped off all of that. And judging by them adding Xeno to the title, it sounds like they're trying to go after Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Okay.
They'll probably fail.
Don't judge it until you play it. I'm sure you'll play it, Eric.
Yeah, but I think most of what makes Metal Max interesting isn't present in this game.
All I heard was stripped. That's the only thing that I heard was stripped, so that's good. Next story. Speaking of strip, let's go to the next story. Breakman.
Real quick question. A chat freeze for me? Is it still going? Because I think I've frozen.
Still going.
Damn it. I'm all right. I'm going to have to get back in chat in a moment then. Yeah. Okay, coming to us live from Gamatsu. Mega Dimension Neptunia. VIIR. Or does that mean seven?
V2R.
V2R is what they're. That's okay. V2R coming west in spring 2018. Mega Dimension Neptunia.
That's idiotic.
V2R will launch for PlayStation 4 or PlayStation VR. Yeah, I don't.
It's
I hate this name.
It's basically Neptunia V2 with VR added and some tweaked gameplay mechanics.
Why do the Japanese love to do all that wordplay with their titles? It's weird.
Does it translate better in Japanese?
I don't know,
is it more clever in Japanese?
It's
not really.
Japan just likes to be different.
Okay, got it.
All right, that's good on that.
I've always wondered, like, when we see bad titles, is it just like a translation error, or are they really think they're clever?
There's just a thing. They like English the way we like Asian languages. Like we like it looks neat.
Oh, I got
like,
you.
Like,
okay, cool.
You put Sugoi Daisuke as the title of the game.
Yeah. It looks
so
cool.
So you're saying like how people get those Asian band tattoos and stuff like and they're probably not what the people think they
Shonen
are.
Knife.
So
there's a fine knife.
So you get like that. You get like one of those band tattoos, and they think it means like peace and love, and it mean probably means something like your penis or something. we're gonna see like the reverse in Japan. So there's Japanese men walking around with your penis.
You'll see some straight. You'll see some very amusing shirts and stuff over there. Like I've seen one where it's like this bright, this red shirt with this bright and happy, cheerful font that says like all down the front of it says "I hate myself and I want to die." I'm not even kidding. Which that's is actually awesome. A Kurt Cobain quote.
That's morbid. But
like,
fun.
But my favorite bit of English shit that I've ever seen on a shirt belonged to my friend Chris, and yeah, it was this shirt that had was just covered in like just it looked like scraps of newsprint, just like so just bits and pieces that people had torn off of a newspaper, mm-hmm. but it's all printed in this big collage kind of thing, with no real rhyme or reason behind it. But it's all, you know, it's all in English text, but. I should say it's all in English text, but the best bit of it was up on his left shoulder, and he pointed it out to me. He's like, "This is why I bought this shirt." And it just says it has, you know, it's not really big or anything, but it covers maybe about 3 inches of fabric. But it says, "Learning, not learning, but learning, NIG. Ken brings, BRINGS, brilliance."
Okay.
Applause.
Is learning like an egg? The learning egg.
Learning. That's it. I found it. I found the apotheosis of English. This is perfect. It'll never get better than this.
Right on. All right. Let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Dragon Ball FighterZ.
It's just fighters. The Z is a stylized S.
Oh my god! This shit, man. It is what it is. It's FighterZ. Whoa! It's like
Dragon Ball can get away with that.
No. Listen
again. Dragon Ball Z.
Look.
It's
check
called
this out.
Dragon Ball Z. So
hey, they didn't play on words when they did Xenoverse. They just made it as an X instead of a Z.
I hate this shit. It's like that show that came out that one time.
I hate it when it's about zombies. When it's every it was like, oh, this show's about zombies, and it's spelled ZOMBIEZ.
I hate that. It in general, and I hate things like when Seven came out. It was SE the number 7EN. I'm like, no,
or like fan four stick or for 3R. God.
Yeah, or Num3Rs. Yeah, that's what I called that stupid show. By the way, that show sucked. I hated that show.
Don't forget Driver with a 3.
Oh, yeah, God. You mean Driv3R. Like Driv I was talking 3R. About, you know, Fear 3 or 3R.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the most broken-ass fucking games I've ever played.
Yeah. Or the, the fourth Scream movie, Scream 4.
Yeah, I know. I hate that shit.
Scream 4 even that, worth watching though.
Yes,
it's not bad.
It's better than
Scream
3. I like Scream
3. Wait, that's 4? Okay, yeah, I remember 4. I don't know. Like my problem with the third one was basically like a satire for me. Like I thought it was a comedy. I know, but if you watch it as a comedy, the third one's kind of enjoyable. I mean, yeah. For God's sakes. Jay and Silent Bob make a cameo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. If you look at the original three movies, they're kind of sending up all the old horror tropes.
Yeah. I hate then the second one, though.
Well, okay. But that's beside the point, though. It's like the fourth one, you know, it's like we're revisiting, you know, like we're jumping on a bandwagon and revisiting an old, like a dormant franchise and like trying to make it modern. So they're kind of sending up that trend. And it can be argued whether or not they did a decent job of it, or else they just kind of come off as an also ran. But I think on the whole they did, you know, they did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, well, my problem with the Scream franchise is they're so beholden to Sidney and the other characters.
But that's,
was it Dale that's, or something yeah, like that? They need to move on from those characters because when you're watching like Scream, at any point do you really think Sidney's gonna die?
No, but that's the whole
exactly
thing,
right? Like you need like. And I'm not saying, like, just kill her off and, like, move on. I'm saying, like, make another, like, original Scream.
No, I think the Scream franchise is dead. It died when Wes Craven went to the grave. But I thought they did a mm-hmm. decent job with it. I do agree with you that it did grow stale after – the third one was not super good. I thought it was okay. I mean, it was
like I said, if you watch it like as a total comedy, like it's funny, but it's not a good movie.
The third one is rougher. We'll say it's rougher on the edges. It's not, you know, it's not a terrible movie, but it, of the original three, it is definitely the least.
Yeah,
it's the only movie where the villain's motivations make the least amount of sense.
Yeah, let's talk about this in Free for All. We'll have plenty of time to talk about this. Weiland says first two seasons of Scream TV shows had nothing to do with the movies. That is true. I watched
the first season of the Scream TV show, but it was so bad because the Scream TV show completely missed the point of Scream. Like Mug was just saying, like the first three movies specifically were meant to be like satires of horror movies and like turning horror movies on their head, where the Scream TV show, at least the first season, was so by the book horror.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Seen it, but my question would be like, did it do a decent job of it at least?
No, it was awful.
That would be the redeeming factor for me. It's like, well, it's not really Scream, but it is decent horror, you know.
It's not even decent horror.
I don't know about the second season because I never watched it because the first season was so bad. But
it was Scream and poop.
The third season they're gonna bring back Ghostface, which the whole mask thing wasn't really what bothered me. It was just like they did all like the horror tropes, which is what Scream was against in the first place. The Scream's franchise was trying to turn horror tropes on their ears, where in the Scream TV show, they're just like, yeah, we're going to go with every trope we can think of.
You know what? Scream, the TV series, was probably one of the...
We've actually got a rat hole, though.
But... All right, let's move
on. You're right, we got to get the news done. And Weiland says, I like the TV show. Shrug. I didn't hate the TV show. Like, it had its moments, but for the most part, there was just so much dumb stuff and, you go over there. You guys go look in there. We'll go look over here.
If I wanted a show about teen angst that was actually pretty good, I would watch Teen Wolf, not Scream. I got through the first season barely, and it's one of the few horror series that I just could not watch. I don't know. I didn't watch the second season. Maybe the second season was better. If Weiland tells me I should give it a try, I'll give it a try. But anyways, we need to move on.
It's all on Weiland over. We see the second season Scream or not. It's all on you, Weiland.
Yeah. So anyways, this Dragon Ball FighterZ, they're going to have an edition that's $94.99, which is just a download of the game. A Fighter Z pass, 8 new characters, including their respective stamps, set of alternative colors, and lobby avatars. Yippity doo. And then there's an Ultimate Edition, which includes the same thing plus anime music pack, 11 songs from the anime, and a commentator voice pack.
Which one?
I want the Falconer tracks. I know Eric doesn't like them, but I do.
$109 goddamn dollars.
I'm pretty sure it's just the Kai tracks.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck that. And then they even have a physical collector's edition, which will be $140. This is what games have come to.
Oh, you want to know the best part of that, Frank?
What's that?
Physical collector's edition does not include the Fighter's Pass.
Does not include what?
The Fighter's Pass.
Oh, that's even better. Let's rape and pillage people at their most vulnerable during Christmas.
I think I'll just either A, get the standard version, or B, wait for the Switch version with all the DLC.
Yeah, just do that. All right, next story.
I mean, the game looks like a lot of fun, but...
Yeah.
Next,
I definitely want to play it.
Next story, Breakman.
No, we're talking about Dragon Ball, damn it. Oh, anyway. Come to us live from Gamatsu. Toho Sky Arena's...
Toho.
Not Yuhu. Toho. Okay, Toho. Area Zero will release a Switch version of Toho Sky Arena. Gensukyo. Kusen. Haimi Matsuri Climax? I got Climax right.
I get Climax right every time.
Only by yourself.
How dare you?
Lots of practice.
Ask Bridget.
The 3D high-tension spell battle action game. What? It's called the 3D, and this is in quote, the 3D high tension spell battle action game, which will be released for PlayStation 4 in Japan on May 2016, which was released, not released.
Well, the original Toho's were bullet hell shooters, so this one's probably a fighter, kind of like the last two bullet, or like kind of like Bullet Belay and Kabuto 5.
Yeah,
but hopefully this one plays better than Kabuto 5, because Kabuto 5 sucks.
That's exactly,
I've got to write a review on it on how much it sucks.
That's exactly what I want to do to get into a series, is first play a bullet hell and then go right into a fighting game. That makes
no,
a lot
it's
of sense.
It's a bullet hell series.
Oh, okay.
And then this is a spinoff.
That'd be an interesting game. I'd give it a try.
How dare you?
The spinoff probably has bullet hell mechanics, though. Because, like, the idea is, like, for these types of games, they're versus games that where you basically shoot each other with bullets and then wear them down and then you draw in closer, and then you could do melee attacks.
Freak is exiled again. I think he's working on a record today. All right, next story.
Wadden says the Halloween special, going back to the Scream TV show, the Halloween special from last year was meh pick.
Yeah. All right, next story.
I like that definition. Meh
next pick. Story, Mug.
All right. Coming to us vaguely animated from Gematsu.com. Root developer.
Supposed Regista. To say undead.
No, sorry. Root double developer Regista to make Switch titles. I guess.
Yeah.
Good job.
Fucking dog.
That's awesome.
Like, the dog nudges the door open to look at me and then starts barking.
Starts barking, yeah. He's expecting me. She was expecting me.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, the Regista, the visual novel studio behind the Root Double series and the Nipponichi software to produce Exile Election, 2016 again, will develop titles for Switch, it announced on Twitter. The limited company Regista will develop for Nintendo Switch. We are starting work on the development of the existing titles as well as original titles. Please look forward to the announcement of more information. This is non-news. Regista's current lineup of upcoming news consist of birthday song "Ai o Utau Shinigami," means the reaper that sings love. Another record and "Starry Sky Winter Stories" for PS Vita. Pushed above, never mind. Yeah. This is
a non-story, man. It's a story about
Moria. I have a question. Does Frank have a jar of peanut butter by his desk?
How dare you?
Call the dog.
He does have a jar of peanut butter in his room.
Uh-huh.
How dare you?
It's just sitting there, dude. It's right in plain sight.
I know. Like, we're not saying anything. We're just pointing out a fact. That's all.
This show's a peanut butter suspiciously placed next to your bed, which is just weird.
This goddamn show is a train wreck today. Let's move on to the next story. Breakman.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Full Metal Panic, because Panic has the exclamation point in the middle of the fucking name of the game.
Full Metal Panic!
Yeah, Full Metal Panic! Fight who dares win. Who dares wins.
Which is a mercenary quote. Mercenaries. Marines.
This might be the most absurd title of yet this year.
Yeah.
Full Metal Panic Fight, Who Dares Wins, a strategy RPG developed by Super Robot Wars developer BB Studio. Let me give you a little synopsis here.
Yeah.
Is the first standalone console game in the monumental Full Metal Panic series, in which sci-fi action is depicted on an overwhelming scale for the fierce battle between Mithril, the world's strongest in armed force, and Amalgam, which pulls the strings behind the curtains, and the armed slave humanoid weapons. The presence of the battlefield will be expressed in the form of a strategy RPG. Armed slave?
That doesn't sound women want to play this game at all. Armed slave. Jesus.
That's just... I don't know. They need to...
a woman, really.
All right, let's move on to...
we will have none of your kink shaming on this show, sir.
All right, last story, Eric.
Well, hold on. Freak wants to know real quick, does that jar of peanut butter have a penis-shaped hole in it?
Only in his cupboard. That's what I put
in it. Well, There, it is suspiciously. It doesn't look like any utensils have been used. It looks more like you know, fingers and/or maybe a dog tongue. How I'm just speculating.
You. Is there a mushroom imprint in there?
There's more than one more story.
It's a tiny mushroom, but is it there?
What do you mean? It's the Inazuma, and that's it, man.
There's several more stories from what I've seen.
I added a couple before the show started.
Eric, don't do
one,
that.
One, two,
dude.
Three, four more after the five. There's five,
no,
including this
no,
one.
No, we're doing one more story, Eric. Those can
oh.
wait.
Oh.
No, we're doing one more story.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Well, I'll just do them quickly. There's this game called Persona 5, and now it's getting an Ultimate Edition, which is basically all the DLC, and it's hell of expensive.
Right.
Well, and Inazuma 11 Ares is the next Inazuma game. No release date for US, but it's coming for the PS4 and Switch and smartphones.
Alright.
In the summer of 2018. And I'm not ever actually looking at the articles. I'm looking at it based on what the link says.
Okay.
But there's also a game from Square Enix called Servant of Thrones. It's a card battle game, so fuck that game.
Okay. What else?
And Harvest Moon Light of Hope for PC has been dated November 14th.
What? November 1st.
You should avoid that game because it looks like ass.
Yeah, and let's avoid, well, maybe not avoid.
Not a nice
but
ass.
The only one I'll actually read that Rick would be interested in would be Final Fantasy Dimensions 2 as a release date.
Oh, God. Okay, let's do it. Go ahead, Eric.
Final Fantasy Dimensions, or no, as it's known in Japan, Legends 2, because they can't use Legends here because they already did that. Oops.
Yeah. And, but, yeah. So this isn't like a remake of the Saga games on the Game Boy.
This is
okay. I'm completely lost then.
Holy cow! I can't exile Freak for his last comment, but I don't
Anyways,
even know.
It's coming out November 1st.
It's a family show, Freak 5. This
and is... looking up prices, it doesn't say what the hell article. Yeah. You couldn't get that info from Square.
Of course not. All right.
Oh well, it's so probably $20 like the first game was.
All right.
Well, since it's I'd imagine it's in the store as like a preview, like download or pre-order. Let me see. I'll look it up for you.
Free, right. Pay for the rest.
Okay, well, Breakman is doing that. We have no homie discounts.
I wonder if it's going to be episodic like the first.
All right. Let's see. All right. Breakman, any Twitter questions?
Breakman,
this week?
You need to buy that so you can and
Eric!
Review it.
God.
Breakman.
You made him. You all right?
You turned Frank into a duck.
Jesus. I can't get a word in edgewise, man. It's weird. All right. It must be Halloween. All
Frank
right.
is now the penguin.
All right.
Any
Twitter questions or comments?
No, there's actually nothing in Twitter.
All right. Nothing there. What have you been playing? Let's start with Mug.
Really, the only thing I've been playing has been South Park, The Fractured But Whole. and I'm not liking it as much as I thought I would.
Oh, wow. Is there major I don't want you to spoil because
yeah,
we all
I'm not going to spoil anything. It's like there's no major problems with it. It's just it plays things incredibly safe.
Ah.
It's,
okay.
You know, like, really it's if you like Stick of Truth, here's more Stick of Truth. Like the combat is, you know, it's they've changed things up, you know, a little bit, but it's not it's like it's perfectly functional, but it doesn't feel essential. Mm. You know, it's just like okay, and if you're really only a fan of like the older South Park seasons, this and you don't care much for the newer seasons, you're probably not going to get much out of this game. It's, you know,
I think everybody's kind of evolved with that series. I think we'd be okay with it.
I haven't watched South Park in years.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people who are just like, yeah, I like the old shows, but they don't like their new format where they do like you know 10 episodes and it's all one long you know continuity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dungeon Buster just joined us in chat. What's up, Dungeon Buster? Freak says he's been playing a beta test of Fortnite on the PS4 and Friday the 13th. I heard some good things about Friday the 13th.
Did you have to watch the episode that was a prequel?
What are you talking about?
South Park. I didn't. I haven't watched the
I've seen the episode, but I haven't played the game.
All right.
I doubt you need to play it. But...
Long story short, I mean, it's fun, and it is funny and everything. But it's just like, oh, okay. It's just more of the same game, basically.
Get it on sale.
Yeah, and that's kind of my impression. I was like, you know, like I mean, I paid full price for it. I'm glad I didn't get the season pass. And so I was just like, yeah, I would have been just fine getting this game later.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says he doesn't watch South Park, but he got the humor. So there you go.
And I'm going to get it at some point. Like, I just, you know, I have no reason to run out and get a game just because this is the day it releases, you know. Like, it's still going to be around in 2 months, 3 months, a year, whatever, you know. The same game is still going to be there.
Looks like Freak is having a good time with Friday the 13th. We'll be talking a little more about that game a little bit later. All right, that it, Mug, for your playing session?
Yeah. I did play a teeny tiny bit of Guilty Gear XRD Revelator.
Yeah,
it's a fun game, but it's like I don't know that I could. You know, I like and I respect Guilty Gear as a franchise, but it's not. I don't think it's a series I could ever seriously get into just because the combat system is so nuanced.
Yeah,
it just like there's a very like the skill floor is very high. Like. You have to be pretty good at the game.
In other words, you should, in your case, Mug, you should avoid that game at all costs. That's what you're saying.
All right. Did you play Revelator or Revelator 2?
No, there's Sign, Revelator, and Rev 2. It's just
Rev 2 is basically just Revelator, but with extra stuff.
Is Soul Bad Guy still in it?
Oh, yeah, he's still the main guy. Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
It's not like BlazBlue where they ended wrong the story.
Yeah. What's funny is it's actually, you know, and I was like, when my friend Chris said this, I was like, really? Why do you say that? That's because that's how it's written. I said, but it's Blay Blue. The Z is silent.
Oh.
It's supposed to be Blay Blue.
Yeah. A silent Z? All
right.
Yeah, it's like Bure Buru. Okay. How it's written out in Japanese.
What school did they go to? Because I don't remember a silent Z.
I'm like, I've taken a few silent P's in my life, but, you know.
Well, then.
Almost every P is silent with you because you sit down, Mug. So, you know, there's that. All right, let's move on here. I played a little bit of Marvel Puzzle Quest, of course, and Stranger Things. They came out with a new character, which I'm not going to spoil for anybody that wants to play that game. I haven't even gotten that character yet, though, so it's
and
cool.
He's been studiously ignoring Salt and Sanctuary and Metroid Samus.
I totally am. I've been on the Stranger Things, and I've actually been doing some cool things with Marvel Puzzle Quest, but it's kind of a boring game to explain to people like what I'm doing, so I don't even bother. All right, next story, or I'm sorry, next person, Eric.
What? Next story?
No. Breakman.
What have I been playing?
Broken the show.
Frank just derailed the thing.
I was in the middle of typing something. But I've been playing a little bit more Color X Malice, although I put that down quickly this week to play... I played a little
like
bit of
eating or something. There's some scraping or somebody's scraping something.
That's not me, but whatever. But outside of that, I played a little of Knights of Azure 2 for the Switch, and it's not as good as the first game. The first game was fun and interesting, but flawed. But they managed to make the game somehow worse. And apparently that's across the board and not just the version I'm playing. Yeah. Although the problem, some of those problems are probably more pronounced on my platform.
Right.
But the review of that will be ready like probably next week. And I played a little bit of Zwei, the Illvard Insurrection, and did the first dungeon of that game. And it's one of those games where it's probably the first game that Exceed has produced that's actually made me feel a bit uncomfortable because the very beginning of the game, the two main characters are in a restaurant eating and they have a Chinese waitress and she's talking in the stereotypical Chinese English. And I was like, why did you feel that it was a good idea to do this?
Mm-hmm. I'd have to see the original Japanese because odds are if it's done anything like... If they had a written with broken Japanese, if you look at like, you know, like the old Ranma one half, like Shampoo, like she was written as she spoke in like broken Japanese. And so
yeah,
that's why they carried it over.
That's when you go, that's not good. Let's change this.
Well, that's it also depends on who it is.
Like Tom Schlitzel's like fight for this, because I suspect he did, he's also a racist.
No, he's not. The thing is, his big thing is he doesn't like changing shit and what he sees is unnecessarily. Like, authorial intent is his, is his bugbear.
So you mean like. He doesn't like gender swapping a character or something like that.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't. When it comes to specifically when it comes to localizing games. I mean, and Tom and I have talked to these.
I'm anti censorship, but I'm also anti. Let's not do these terrible things.
Well, that's the thing. It's like he tends to regard editing a game for content. Falling a little too squarely in the censorship category. I'm not gonna make his point for him. He's not here to speak for himself. But that's from what I've gathered from him. And he can put forth he's a bright guy. He can put forth a much more nuanced argument in favor of his position than I could on his behalf. But I'm like that's where he stands. And he has some When we've talked about it, it's there's stuff that I'll say I'm not behind you. It's like I don't think you're thinking far enough ahead with this, but I agree with you on this. But that's basically kind of his attitude, and that very well may be. I don't know if he was involved in this particular game though.
All right. Anything else?
I do know that he had that problem with it was Strip 2, which caused him to be delisted from the credits of every game he works on from now on.
Well, no, he asked to have his name removed.
XSEED's
policy is that if you decide not to have your name listed on the game you work on, then you won't have your name listed on anything going forward.
Which is weird, but...
That is a strange policy.
Yeah. But I also played a little bit of Super Mario Odyssey, although I didn't get to play as much as I wanted to because I had to work today.
Is it as what's funny is I'm not a Mario fan. Never have been. I've never actually beaten a Mario game. I will say that the stuff I've seen of Odyssey is have kind of piqued my curiosity.
Have you really played Banjo-Kazooie? Did you like it?
I've never played Banjo-Kazooie.
It's kind of like that, though, where the world's kind of open, and every time you click the moon, instead of exiting the level, which is stupid, you just keep playing.
My impression of everything I've seen of Mario is the word fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It just looks fun.
Also, unlike Banjo-Kazooie, it doesn't have the weird...
Whatever that was.
Talk. I mean, they'll still do stupid, simlish, gibberish talk, but it's not going to accompany every single line of text.
All right.
I also played a little bit of Creeping Terror.
What
which
is that?
Is a horror adventure game. Ooh. Which you might be interested in. Yeah.
Creeping Terror is what happens every time Eric eats pizza.
Eats pizza.
So it's not a romantic game.
Oh. No.
All right.
I'll play Mario Odyssey eventually too.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the first games I play on that system, man.
I get a Switch, that'd be the first game I'd buy.
That system is getting more and more attractive to me because I'm a Nintendo fan, but that game looks incredible. Even the Zelda game looks incredible. There's all kinds of shit that you can play on there. When Metroid comes out on that system, it's a must get for me. All right, next, Breakman. What have you been playing?
Nothing new. Final Fantasy, Fallout 4, Record Keeper, and Fallout 4 and Halo 5. By the way, it's Halo 5's second anniversary.
Oh, wow.
This weekend.
I'm assuming you're playing multiplayer.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like,
there's a bunch of single player achievements and stuff I could do, and I think there's a bunch.
You just cut
we
out.
We just lose you.
Yeah,
no, my mouse fucked up. Anyway, there's a bunch of single player stuff I could still go back and do and play some maybe multiplayer for the story and stuff. But I've never really been interested in that. After I beat it, it's like, okay, I got what I wanted. Now I just want to play multiplayer. Yeah. I just want to kill people.
Yeah, that's the way to do
lots
it.
Of people.
Like I said, I played Stranger Things and Marvel Marvel Puzzle Quest. I have a really quick review of the first episode of Stranger Things Season 2.
Spoiler alert.
I'm not going to spoil. All I'm going to say, because I won't do a full review until I watch all of it.
How many episodes is it?
It's 9 this season, so that's really cool.
I think it was only 8 last year, right?
Yeah, it was only 8. Yep.
Was it? I thought it was 10.
No, 8. I was really surprised that they didn't go to a full 13, you know, like a full season. But
to be fair, the episodes are like 45 minutes long, so that's like 2 episodes.
I'll take it. It's really good.
And I got to say that from what I've seen, there are a lot of shows that 13 is too many. So if they thought 13 was they got to choose and you know, they decided this is the best way to write the story, then good.
I don't think they got to choose. It was for budgetary reasons, but honestly, they could.
Voltron's only 6.
Hold on, dude. Can I finish a point? I haven't finished one sentence this show.
Whatever, Frank.
It's Stranger Things. I don't think that would hold merit for this show, because there's so much territory that they can cover. So I think 13 would have been fine for this show. But I understand what you're saying, Breakman. There are certain shows that you're like, why did you do 13? You know, it's weird. But this show,
yeah, and then they there's those episodes where they don't know what to do. So yeah, they don't add content. You know, my best example is the show 24.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times they didn't have enough content for 24 episodes.
Yeah,
so they.
I only watched the first 2 seasons.
I liked 24.
If you watch the first season, you know, like the cougar in the woods type scenario and stuff like that. Like, oh my god! Like, really?
They had to pass.
What does this have to do with anything?
It's really hard to make a show. I give the producers.
Can I say I hate 24 because that propelled Sutherland and Sutherland's not getting a bunch of roles that he doesn't deserve, like playing a snake.
You're talking right over me, dude. Like, I was just in the middle of a point, and you talk right over me, man. I need to get my point out, otherwise, ether. Mm. All right, let's move on. Let's see. Let's move on to our stinkos. Let's start with Breakman.
My stinko goes to the death of the actor who portrayed Benson.
Robert Guillaume.
Oh, yeah. That's sad, dude. Oh, you know what? I forgot your review, Mug, 1922. I just saw that. We'll do that after the stinkos, all right? I'll get back to you, I promise. Yeah. Yeah, that sucks, Breakman. I heard about that. He was in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he was in a lot of stuff, but it usually is like bit part and stuff.
Yeah, character actor.
He's one of those guys you'd recognize immediately, but you probably wouldn't know his name.
Yeah.
Well, if you heard his voice, your immediate thought would be Rafiki from Lion King.
Rafiki from Lion King.
Rafiki, he knows the way.
He was also in The Love Boat, if anybody remembers Love Boat, which they probably don't, but I do.
The Love Boat!
I remember the show, I just don't remember watching it.
Oh, God, I used to watch that show all the time.
Another run.
Oh, God, that's awful, Mug. Don't ever sing again, man, please.
The Love Boat!
All right.
Something exciting for everyone! Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Anything else, Breakman? Nothing?
No, that's it.
All right. Let's go with Mug, your stinko.
I don't really have a stinko per se.
Okay.
You
know, all right.
I'm not feeling as well as I would like to, so my throat is sore, but there's my stinko.
All right. Let's go with Eric, your stinko of the week.
I don't have any this week.
No, none
this other week. Than having to work on Saturday.
All right.
Although I guess it's not that much of a stinko because I do have a car I need to pay off.
Yeah. All right. My stinko is that.
This one's old. It's from last week.
Okay. You done?
Eric?
Yeah.
All right. My stinko this week goes to – this is going to be kind of a weird one. It's Trump again. He's an all-time, like, Hall of Fame – Hall of Shame stinko. But this time he gets it for declaring a state of emergency for the opioid crisis. Now, there's been news which ties into my sweet-o, so I'll do kind of both at the same time, that there's going to be an indictment on Monday with somebody for the Trump campaign. I'm almost certain it's Paul Manafort, but I hope beyond hope it's Michael Flynn. Those are the two names that have been coming up quite a bit. But the reason that I'm giving Trump a stinko this week for the state of emergency on the opioid crisis is because it's a clear distraction from what is really, really going on in that chaotic White House. And besides the fact, I think this is going to be used as an excuse to ramp up the Jeff Sessions and his crusade against all kinds of drugs, and including marijuana in the state of Colorado, which is ridiculous because it's fucking legal here. And Jeff Sessions is a piece of shit Keebler elf that if he were to die right now, I'd be like, cool. The world's a better place. So my stinko goes to Trump for trying to distract us from important shit that's going on right now. And so, yeah, my sweeto is also the indictments. I think we're almost at the end of this nightmare, to be honest with you. Sweetos,
Mark. Yeah, right. You wish.
I'm hoping.
Look, we got that. All those lawsuits are starting to come back. I don't know what happened in the first place, but all the women like accused him of sexual harassment.
He settled.
I know, but he still like denies that and everything, and people believe him. I don't know. Like,
look,
they need to catch him red-handed doing something.
The ultimate. The ultimate thing that I can say on Trump is I want to see that dude in handcuffs, and I hope that day comes. If it does, I don't think there'll be a happier human being on the planet than me, because he's one of the worst things to happen to the United States since, I don't know, Nixon, maybe even, I can't think of maybe George W. Bush, but golly, man. Trump is just a fucking nightmare.
I would say it's the worst thing since Reagan.
Yeah, that too. You can say that. Absolutely. I totally agree. I think we're pushed back like 20, 30 years on race relations with Trump. It's just fucking sad. All right.
I just watched the TYT video on the opioid state of emergency thing. Yeah. That he only did that so he could say he did something about it without actually doing anything. Because the budget for it is pitifully ridiculous.
Yeah, he's all about bravado, and he's done nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, the thing is, like, we also have to bear in mind, Trump is literally 100% surface. There's no, like, he is, you know, like an inch wide and a, you know, rather it's like a, you know, a mile, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep. That is Trump in a nutshell.
Yeah. I saw a video of a guy basically describing him as the middle finger of America's right hand.
And Frank, you don't have to. You might not have to worry about him getting impeached, because his supporters, haven't you noticed, have been dropping left and right. Like, he is losing. His hold over anybody.
The only thing Trump has going for right now, Breakman, is his base. He has a very strong.
He does have a base, but he is losing, like, his support. And I'm saying, like, Congress and the House and stuff like that, which he didn't have much support to begin with.
Look, this is the scenario I've been warning you guys for a long-ass time about the turning point when somebody becomes a dictator. If you look into history and the history of the world and all the dictators, there's an exact turning point when the country became a dictatorship. I believe right now is a very perilous time. That's why I'm hoping that these indictments kind of speed things up, because there will be a point where Trump will know that he's fucked unless he does something extreme like become a dictator.
He doesn't have that much power, Frank.
No, he really doesn't. Look, he doesn't right now, but as soon as he gains control of that military, which I know is kind of a tough thing to do, but if you look at the former general John, what's his name, John Kelly, that guy is just as bad as Trump, all right? He has the same views. He's just a little more reserved than Trump. He's not as brash. He's calculated. And if he can turn somebody like that into his favor that's currently in the military, which there's plenty of people that have the same values as Trump in the military, then we're in for a world of hurt. But until that day happens, I'm hoping that these indictments do something that you know, kind of spur the impeachment process along and get him the fuck out of there. I don't think there's anybody now, after everything that's happened, that can honestly look me in the eye and tell me that Trump has done anything good. He's done nothing.
No, but I still think you're crazy if you think he's going to recruit the military and take over the country.
Hold on. I didn't. You're not paying attention to what I'm saying, Breakman. I don't.
No?
I don't.
I summed it up.
Look, I don't think he's going to, but I think the very real possibility of that happening is there. And if we sleep on it like we slept on the election, then guess what happens? We get hit in the face with something that hurts
really bad. Whoa, whoa. We didn't sleep on the election. The American public said no.
No. We've set up this system, this broken system of the Electoral College, and where one person's vote counts.
Hold on. Frank, I don't like letting you talk.
We've got this.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
No.
I'll stop interrupting.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, like we've slept on the election, and even though there was a majority of people in this country that said no to Trump, the Electoral College gave us a big fucking finger. And you know what? It shouldn't have even come to that. We should have had Bernie winning the primaries, which the DNC fucked that whole thing up. And now they got rid of all the progressives. I don't know if you saw, but the DNC just got rid of all the progressives in positions of power. So now
they're moving heavily back towards like the Clinton.
No, they're moving. They're moving towards what Republicans used to be. So the Democrats are
pretty much what the Clintons are.
Hold on. Yeah, right. You're right. But look, what we have now is the Republicans, which are basically like they're beyond conservative. They're, you know, if they could go back to segregation and, you know, slavery, I guarantee they would do it. Now
there's some of them I think so. I wouldn't say that about everybody, but there are definitely some I think so.
You have the Democrats who now are the new Republicans who want to screw you financially, and take money away from you and make you poor and all that shit. And then you have this little fringe group that's really loud right now, which more and more people should gravitate to. You know, I'm talking about the people that back Bernie Sanders. I'm not saying he's the ultimate savior, but there is no chance in 2020.
He's independent, and he's something different from what we usually get.
There is no chance whatsoever that we are going to get in 2020 a Sanders-Warren ticket. I'm calling it right here, right now. The DNC is going to screw him again like they did before. And
well, this time, if he runs again, he won't run as a Democrat.
I hope not. I hope he runs as an independent and says,
he switched back
you.
To independent, like, immediately after election. But the problem was, because of, like, the stranglehold the Republicans and the Democrats have, it makes it really hard for a third
party. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a shame what's going on.
It's a con game they've played on us over the years.
And by the way, I think it was either the Senate or the House just passed their blueprint for screwing lots of Americans out of a lot of money.
My God, yeah. I forget what it's called, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
No,
should infuriate all of us.
Yeah, absolutely, because you know what? If you make about $50,000 a year, most likely your tax rate's going to go up 380%. So if you were used to getting a good big fat check at the end of the year, especially if you had kids, you can kiss that shit goodbye. And by the way, Medicare and Medicaid are probably going to take a good fucking hit from this quote tax cut that's basically a handout to millionaires and billionaires, people making, I think
everything I've seen on the tax proposal so far is mostly like cuts for the upper class and for the high middle class. There's one good thing in all of it, and that's the part about lowering the corporate tax rates.
Nope.
But other than that, everything else
that's not good. That's not good.
Actually, that is good.
Absolutely not.
A lot of businesses moved overseas because of
Absolutely not. It is not
our
good.
Corporate. You know, our nope. corporate tax rate is our corporate tax rate is one of the highest in the world.
No, that's actually misinformation.
Actually, it is,
nope,
Frank.
Nope, you're wrong.
Yes,
you're 100% wrong. I'll tell
I
you
am
why.
100%
nope.
not
okay.
wrong.
No, you're
hang,
wrong.
Hang on a second.
Hold
whoa,
on.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Both
Hold
of
on.
Hang on.
You are absolutely wrong, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, dude.
Hold on. Can I? All right.
Let me just. Okay, I've been quiet the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Both of you are sitting here going like, "No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong."
No.
Like,
yeah.
Hey,
look.
Do either of you have a source, like an actual source?
Yeah. Yep. I do.
Just, like,
but
back up your statement.
Well,
that's all I'm asking.
Let me before I look up the source. All right. Breakman on the surface is right. Right. When people talk about corporate tax rates, right? By the way, corporations are not people. So let's just get that out there right now. Corporations are not people. They don't deserve the same treatment legally in any form to a human being. I will never buy the argument that a corporation is a human being and we should treat them the same as a person. There's no justification
yeah,
for it.
Nobody's saying that.
Whatsoever, right? So the corporate rate, hold on, the corporate rate, the corporate tax rate in this country on the surface is 40%, which sounds really high, right? You know what?
It's
what,
actually
hold on.
Not that high, but
hold
okay,
on.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
See again, Frank, you're not right.
Hold
but
on.
You're saying you're right. It's only 38.92.
Okay. 38.92, basically 40%, like I said. Here's the real breakdown. It's about 15% when you count all the fucking loopholes that corporations get away with, right? So corporations are nowhere near the top of what people pay in the world as far as corporations go. It's about 15 to 17% depending on which numbers you look at, all right? The surface number is 40, but when you count in all the loopholes and all the deductions that corporations always take advantage of because they got the lawyers to do it, unlike us, I don't have the money to get a lawyer to do my taxes, they pay about 15 to 17%. So if you think that's a good thing, then more power to you. Go ahead and support people that think that, and they'll make more money, and we'll get more poor. So
actually, I think it's a good idea to not charge our corporations a lot of tax dollars because that's a major reason why so many companies went overseas.
Yeah, no, that's not.
Because, well, listen, the
no,
average tax rate, the average tax rate. I waited for you, Frank. My
I
turn.
Know. Hold on.
The average over across 188 countries, the tax jurisdiction is the average at 22.5%. As you said, ours is almost 40.
No. But it's
that
not.
That is one of the major reasons that corporations go across
no.
the world.
No, you know,
especially
no.
countries like China, where their tax rate is. Let me see if I can find it on here.
No, no.
Is it on here?
Look, let me tell you something, Breakman. This is why Republicans and Democrats always get you to go along with this bullshit, right? We always think that the corporations are poor corporations. They're paying 40% taxes. They ain't paying 40% taxes.
I'm not saying poor corporations, Frank.
Hold
I'm
on.
Saying that they are taking – they're going to other countries for cheaper labor and
you didn't
cheaper
let me
tax
finish.
Rates.
You didn't let me
and
finish.
And the offsets when you're saying the corporations paying 17%, that's true. Those were deals offered to these corporations to get them to stay in America.
You know what?
Instead of moving away.
Let me tell you the number
Frank,
one.
You
hold
keep
on.
Complaining about not finding
let
a job.
Me, let
I'm
me,
just telling you, job, Frank, let, I shut let, up for you. You won't shut up for me.
All right. Go ahead.
No,
okay, what do you want to say?
I tried to make a really good point about the reason why corporations leave the United States. Do you want to know that reason, Breakman, or do you want to go ahead and finish your point? I've been trying
no,
to
go ahead.
Get this
I said
out.
What my point was.
Okay, the point I'm trying to make to you, Breakman, the reason countries or companies leave this country is so they can get cheaper labor. It's about the
I said
bottom
cheaper labor. That's
line.
One of the reasons. One
yeah.
of the main reasons.
That's
I said,
the only
two,
reason. That is
two
the
main
only
reasons.
Reason.
No, it's not, Frank. There is never just one reason for anything.
Yeah. Well, that's
world.
That...
Nothing is black and white.
99% of the
consider
time.
Consider black and white as be. No, Frank. It's
I
not
I can
99%.
Name you. I can name you a dozen companies off the top of my head that have outsourced jobs out of this country, Breakman.
I yeah, but.
I can name them.
I mean, you're talking about
companies?
Outsourcing jobs.
Name
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it's cheaper.
Yes.
Like we said, but where are your sources at?
Oh, my
God.
I'm
giving you the corporate tax rate from the taxfoundation.org.
All right.
This is an official accredited thing. The number one highest tax rate in the world is United Arab Emirates. Number two is Puerto Rico, which is our territory, which is third is America. So that means every other country in the world, countries like China, which people have been complaining for years, are stealing our business because they have cheap tax rates and cheap labor rates.
No, well, the tax rate. Look, here's from NPR. Okay, this is a fact check. Let's see. Like you said, 38.9%. I'm going to find the actual tax rate in just a second.
Freak apparently says I am black and white. So I guess you're biracial, Freak.
Here we go. Here we go. Here's the actual. If you want to know the actual tax rate, it's 18.6%. Break, man. When you factor in deductions and other expenditures.
Yeah, like 18. I said, those were all made to keep these corporations. All companies make deals to stay.
So 18%.
The companies that moved couldn't get the deals they wanted. But there are companies on record saying they would come back to the United States if we lower the tax rate.
No, well, but that's bullshit, man. That's just rhetoric, dude. Of course they're going to say what people want to hear. But look, if you factor in that tax rate, 18.6, we're near the bottom of charging corporations taxes. We're near the bottom.
That's if they get the deals.
They always get the deals, Brakeman.
No, they don't always get the deals. That's why some of them move.
Why do you think Walmart makes so much fucking money? It's because the maximum amount of tax deductions goes to the richest fucking corporations.
It's a funny thing you say. You bring up Walmart because I actually worked for the credit company for Sam's Club.
Yeah.
And that company went overseas.
Yeah. Yeah. Walmart's one of the biggest perpetrators. They fucking suck.
But they brought it back when they were given cheaper rates by the government of America.
Yeah.
And which now is how I got a job.
And now now everybody wants to give them another tax break.
I showed you a real world example of my point and you just blow it off?
No, I didn't blow it off, dude. I'm telling you.
Then you try to change the subject.
No, look.
I'm saying like the Walmart brought it back because customers were not happy with the complaints
from
the other country. People were obviously they didn't speak English, but the main reason was because the government gave them a tax break.
Yeah. So why don't we just not charge corporations taxes at all? Fuck it. Then we can have every corporation in the world come to the United States. We charge them 18%, all right?
And when you talk about like us giving deals, you realize these other countries with their low tax rates also give deals.
I'm not talking about any other country.
They're not paying 22%. They're getting a deal.
No,
that's the way it is.
Their effective tax rates are are nowhere near the top when it comes to corporation taxes, man. And if you think that's probably the biggest problem in this country right now is people think that corporations are getting this big old tax burden, and that's why they're sending out, you know, all their outsourcing to other countries is because we charge so much tax.
I'm saying it's a multitude of reasons, is one of the reasons. But you're saying it's all labor, and that's just not true.
No, I didn't say that. I said
you 100% said it was all labor. Even Dungeon Buster commented on that.
Look, corporations.
I'm sorry, Dungeon Buster. I didn't mean to bring you into this, but really, Frank, we need to. I'll let you say what you want to say, and then we need to wrap up because we need to talk Halloween.
The actual rate is 18%, and if you think that's too much for a corporation to pay, I don't know what to tell you because we pay what almost 30% on taxes depending on the tax bracket, so we're paying way more taxes than corporations. That to me, that doesn't settle right. 18% is their effective tax rate. 18.6%, and that's too much for corporations. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But whatever. Let's move on. I think we did all the Sweetos, did we not?
We were on Stinkos, I thought.
I can tell you what my Sweeto is. Candy.
Candy, yeah, candy. Of course. Nobody has anything listed there. Mud, do you have
I've actually got a couple of Sweetos.
Go for it, Brake.
Well, I was going to do the that review of 1922, but then you guys went off on the politics thing.
Go ahead and do it now.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you don't know, 1922 is a movie that Netflix produced. It's now up on their service. It's based on a novella by Stephen King in the compilation Full Dark, No Stars, and it's true to the title. It is one of his darkest stories, possibly even darker than Pet Sematary. It takes place in 1922 about a man who. Who has this very rocky relationship with his wife, and she comes into an inheritance, and she they disagree with how they want to handle this, and he winds up and he murders her, he plots to murder her. The movie itself is a little odd. It's entertaining and it's decently well written, but the cinematography is not great. A lot of it's very workmanlike, and the editing is weird. It doesn't really have a three act structure like you typically see in a movie. Mm-hmm. The movie doesn't flow very well, but the performances are good. But the Thomas Jane plays the main character Wilfred, and he is it's fucking amazing. He is 100% the reason to watch this movie.
Loki guy?
What now?
Is that the guy that plays Loki?
No,
that's Tom Hiddleston. Thomas Jane played he played the Punisher in that one movie. He was also the lead.
I love that movie, but that was not a good version of the Punisher. Punisher
Warzone.
Punisher, what's his name was the villain? Damn it.
Dolph Lundgren.
But he was also the lead in The Mist.
Yeah.
The dancer guy, Saturday Night Fever.
John Travolta,
thank you. Yeah, when he was...
Yeah. But as for 1922, he plays this old hand, the old-timey, farmer, he comes off as kind of southern, but it's actually out in the, what they call the middle, in Idaho or something. Nebraska. The entire thing, he disappears into the role in ways that you typically don't see outside of Leonardo DiCaprio or Gary Oldman or Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm. It is an absolutely stunning performance. The entire time he just gives this walking human embodiment of a coiled spring.
Yeah,
he looks like he's about to explode at every single second. It's just like,
I almost watched that. I almost watched
you
it.
You should. I would. I like, the thing is, like I said, it's not a great movie, but it is elevated by an absolutely fantastic performance.
Yeah, I've always been well worth checking. Pretty out. Big fan of Thomas Jane, so yeah, I'm
The thing was, I was just like, he always struck me as he's a competent actor and everything, but I was just like, oh wow, he's actually got a ton of talent that no one else has really tapped into before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's definitely very talented. So, what are you giving it on the scale?
I would say I would give it a good, and I'll give it an 8. And if not for Thomas Jane, I would probably give it maybe a 6.5.
Mm, okay, that's cool, man. I definitely have to check it out. I like Thomas Jane. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, if you like it, you will love. If you like him, you will love him in this because he is fucking amazing.
I literally kept
forgetting that it was Thomas Jane.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Breakman, you have some Sweetos. Let's do our Sweetos now.
Okay. My Sweetos go to two things. I don't know if these will work out. I mean, basically these are two donate type things. One is called Pledge, easy for me to say, at pledgeit.org. Yeah, I know. Pledgeit.org. But it's a new take on kind of protesting, the white supremacists. In this instance specifically, my college, UC, is going to be basically forced to host, what's his name, Richard Spencer.
Oh, God, yeah.
So they, and if they're, UC is a public school, so they have to, that we, there's no choice in it. But and people have been talking about protesting and stuff like that. Well, this organization called the Tri-State Freethinkers came up with an idea that I kind of like. Mm-hmm. Instead of the basic protest, what they're doing is going to, and here, let me kind of read it out for you, oppose hate by making a donation to them. The money that they get is going to go to the NAACP, National Underground, Anti-Defamation League, United Negro College Fund, stuff like that. Like I said, this is specifically because of Richard Spencer. Spencer represents an increasing vocal minority in the country, and it is our responsibility as Americans to oppose this rhetoric at every opportunity. Hate thrives on conflict, and Spencer is seeking this forum to stoke the flames of racial division, which is what I say all the time. Like, these people want press. They want you there yelling at them because it validates them. Like, these people are fucked up.
Yeah.
Instead of this is where they come up with a neat idea. Mm-hmm. Instead of clashing with his supporters, we want to use them to raise money for organizations that oppose his very message. Mm-hmm. Join us before the event by making a flat donation, blah blah blah. For example, if you pledge $1 per attendee and 100 attendees show up, then you pledge amount of $100. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm.
So
using their numbers as a basis to,
yep,
you know, yep, to donate to other causes.
That's great.
And when you get there, basically they're holding out signs thanking them for coming and thanking them for their support.
Yeah.
Letting them know exactly what they're like. They're going to be nice to these people because them being there is going to be supporting like the Anti-Defamation League, the NAACP, stuff that, you know, those white supremacists hate.
Yeah. This is a great idea, but this is how I feel that everybody should handle campus talks, lectures. Let them do their lectures, okay? Even if it's Richard Spencer, who I personally think if I saw Richard Spencer in front of me, I probably would beat the fuck out of Richard Spencer, okay? But I'm not a violent person. I'm not saying go do that.
You don't have to be a violent person to want to beat somebody up like him.
Right.
Like he's
yeah.
We need to eliminate the idea that we shouldn't labor under the illusion that giving voices to both sides is a fair thing when one side's clearly wrong.
Well, no.
Four words. False balance is propaganda.
Yeah.
It really is that simple.
Here's my take on the whole thing. I want people – I like that idea quite a bit, Breakman. But
I do too.
But
like I said, I don't know if it'll actually work, but I think it's a fantastic
idea. I don't know if you guys have ever seen these lectures on campus. At one time I was in college, so I saw both sides. One time I was in college and I got handed a – brochure that was warning against the Brown Peril. It was a propaganda from the KKK, and somebody handed that to me. So I'm
the Brown Peril. That happens to me every Saturday night after I eat pizza.
I know. Every time I eat Taco Bell, I have the Brown Peril.
Speaking of pizza, I got leftovers in the fridge.
It was a very detailed, disgusting, basically propaganda piece from the KKK saying we should either kill people or deport them. That's basically the gist of it. And this is what I say to anybody who wants to speak at campus. I'm big on free speech. You want to go and speak on campus, then go for it. I don't know if you've ever seen the conservative lectures on campus, but nobody ever shows up. I used to go to all of them because I wanted to know. I wanted to hear what they had to say. And nobody ever shows up to them. Now, if you go to the other you know, the opposite end of the spectrum, like, for instance, Bernie Sanders, he would fill arenas up. Can you imagine, you know how Trump was boasting about the size of his inauguration, and then they came out with those pictures?
This, he strikes me.
Wasn't it like only that? Like
Hold on.
It wasn't only like 1,000 people or so.
Yeah, it was not
when
a lot
of people.
When
he does that, like, it sounds like to me the people who brag about the size of their penis, you know? Right. Like, I've got the biggest penis ever.
That's why, like, I'm all for free speech. So if you want to speak, if you're Richard Spencer and you want to speak at a campus, go for it, because nobody is going to show up because the majority of people don't think like that. The majority of Americans are not fucking racist.
Yeah.
They don't think like that. So the more attention you give them, the more people go to their thing. So if you don't say anything, and like, for instance, who was it? Milo Yiannopoulos or whatever the fuck is
that? Stankopoulos. That's the name officially given him.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Milo Yiannopoulos. Right?
If you look at the size of crowds, that, quote, crowds that he gets at
pedophile
his,
slash
hold
alt-right.
On. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah.
The crowds of people that he gets, there's maybe 50 people there at best. As opposed to somebody speaking on the other side who gets 200, 300, 400. So it boggles my mind that people have such a problem with these people speaking on campus when we do have free speech, because they are so ineffective. The only time they're effective is when they get picked up in the news cycle. That's the only time. Go ahead.
The thing about the speaking at universities and stuff, it's not a free speech issue.
I know, but that's what
it depends. If it's a, like, for instance, UC is federally funded college. At that point, it is a free speech issue because you're getting money from the government.
Yeah.
So UC has to. There's no choice. If you're a private institute, a privately run college, you can tell them to go fuck himself.
Yeah, I know, but I don't even like that tact. I think
I agree. I'm just saying that's what it is.
I think they should welcome it. Let's say I owned a university, and somebody like Richard Spencer wanted to come on the campus, go for it. It's free country. You can do what you want to do, because I know that the crowd size is not going to be there. This is from countless lectures that I've been to. I've been to so many lectures in my life. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't think that by looking at me, but I actually have been to quite a few lectures. And
wouldn't think it to listen to you either.
How dare you? but no, literally nobody shows up to these things. That's what gets me. People get up in arms. Nobody shows up.
On the other hand, there is. I understand one thing that people are concerned about, though. It's like when you know, and I freely can see that we are talking about a minority of people that think in this bass-ackwards way.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is giving these people any kind of platform for them to, well, not just to spread their message, but for the people who are closeted with that kind of attitude, you know, when it's like emboldening them in any way is not, you know, it's like it's probably a net negative.
Yeah, no, yeah. I would agree with that, Mug, but the problem is you're not really emboldening them. You're empowering yourself, because you're a shining example of free speech if you're one of these colleges that lets these people do that.
But that's the thing. These people don't care. Like,
I know they don't care.
Free speech issue. They don't give a shit about it. They just want to be able to say the nasty shit that they want to say without consequence.
They want people to follow them. And a lot of those people will say things like, you know, they're screaming like how we're so oppressed. Like the white man is being oppressed.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And if there's nobody saying that, you know, there's nobody trying to stop it, like there's no protest or something like that, where's his proof? The people who are listening, you know, they're sitting there like, well, the white man, he's saying the white man's oppressed, but we're not being oppressed right now.
The traditional white male, especially like the white male conservative Christian privilege, has been eroded over the past 50 years. And it's like, people aren't happy about that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people not happy about that.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, people are figuring out that
I shouldn't say a lot. I think not a lot,
a depressing number of people who do think like Trump does.
Granted,
any number is depressing, but it is a depressingly large number of people that think that way. Granted, I mean, there's still a minority. It's still a minority of the country, but it's a large enough, you know, like that's Trump's base. It is a sizable enough segment of the population that they have a voice. And right now they're in power.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Dungeon Buster said something pretty interesting here. Let me see if I can find it. He said, I've also eaten Dunkin' Donut minis, the best minis. I realized that I did sound like Trump there, and I almost threw up Freak Five, but that's not the way I meant it. I just was explaining that I've been to a lot of lectures. Also,
I've been to all the lectures. I've been to the best lectures.
Yeah, the best lectures.
I really quite. When you went to like one of those, and you were there, and there's like two other white people. The guy on the stage, be like, there's the oppressor right there.
Actually, I had that, something
see
very
that white
similar.
Man? He the devil, you know, that kind of shit.
I've had, you know, not exactly like that, Breakman, but I did have something very similar to that that maybe I'll talk about one day on the show. But yeah, that shit does happen. Let's see.
Wow, people are stupid.
Also, I wanted to acknowledge Freak Five. He's going through a rough time, man. Sorry about your job, dude. I meant to get to that when we were doing our stinkos, but
yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, I want to make mention of that because that really sucks, dude. I hope you land on your feet real soon. It looks like you got at least somewhat of a severance package. I know it doesn't add up to all the years you worked at that company, and that really blows, dude. I feel bad. No, so
yeah. Piece of advice: when you go in for your interviews, don't ask any would you rather questions.
Yeah, don't do the would you rathers at all, Freak Five. That will definitely dampen your chances at getting that speaking gig at college campuses around the world. So there you go.
And we're talking about donuts in chat, and Dungeon Buster says asked what you guys think about Krispy Kreme. I do not like Krispy Kreme donuts.
I like their
glaze, but that's all I've ever had, really.
Well, it's like, I mean, their other donuts are okay, but it's like I like, you know, the glaze. Their regular glazed donuts are fine, but not warm.
Oh, I love them. I love them.
No, the whole point of it, that's why it's called Krispy Kreme. It's because when it cools, the cream gets crispy.
No, right off the press, dude. God damn, those things are so good.
They just taste weird to me.
Oh, no. No, man.
I like their chocolate frosted glazed donuts.
I remember. No, I don't like those ones for some reason. I don't like their chocolate, I guess. But I do like the regular glazed donuts, fresh. Oh, God, dude. I remember the first time that Krispy Kreme showed up in Colorado. I drove clear across town to get them, and I was not disappointed in the least. They're horrible for you, but they're really, really good. All right, we're going to talk about some.
Funny, they're not as bad for you as bagels are.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to our free for all this week. We're going to have a fun topic. We're not going to talk politics in the free for all. We will talk about Halloween, though. This is Halloween
weekend.
I actually
had another Sweeto, but I think I can probably talk about this next week. So I'm going to put this in our show notes for next week. So we need to talk about Halloween.
Yeah. But no, man.
I know you weren't going to talk about Halloween, so I...
How dare you? How dare you? All right.
Frank's actually Dracula.
So, my question to you guys this week is, we do this every year. What are your favorite Halloween, kind of in the vein of Halloween games and movies? Let's start with Mug.
Favorite Halloween games and movies. Well, one of my favorites, ever since the first time I watched it, one of my favorite, like, just creepy movies, it's not really Halloween themed, but it is creepy as hell, is The Children.
Uh-huh. British, that's a good one. Yeah,
British horror movie from 2008, about, like, they two families meet, and they're getting together for the holidays, and the kids start acting weird and, like, vaguely, you know.
Yeah.
There's murder and there's some blood and guts and everything. But it's like it's being a British film, it's not shy about showing some graphic violence happening to children.
The Children's a great movie. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it is an intense film. It's very well worth checking out. If you happen to have HBO Go or HBO Now, whatever it's called at the moment, I believe it's still being available for streaming on there right now. We'll see. My favorite horror game of all time is always going to be the original Silent Hill on PS4.
Oh, God, so good. Yeah, yeah.
And It is. It's still to this day the scariest game I've ever played.
Yeah.
For the Halloween kind of thing, just like the schlocky sort of horror, I also really like Until Dawn on PS4.
Ooh, that's a good choice. That's a good choice.
It's a good one. I would also recommend checking out the Clive Barker adaptation Dredd, Dredd, not the Judge Dredd type thing.
not the Sylvester Stallone deal.
Not the one with the slow-mo drug and all that kind of shit. No, this is a completely different movie.
Yeah.
But let's see. Either version, both the original and the remake, either version of The Hitcher.
Oh yes, they're both good.
Both have their merits. Yeah. Night of the Creeps.
Oh, good.
An old classic horror comedy kind of thing. The Thing, of course.
Oh, The Thing is awesome. Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, that is a good movie.
Yeah. Let's see. Identity is a good one. It's a little more thriller than horror, but it fits the Halloween vibe really well.
You're exiled, Breakman, son of a bitch.
Exile, that was a good game. Now, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and it's just like, God, there's so many that I've watched.
Oh, God, I know. The list goes on and on. Let's move on to Breakman. Breakman, which ones do you...
I was looking in chat, because I always say, like, the same horror games. It's like, I always say The Suffering, because I guess that's probably my favorite horror game.
God, that's a great game.
I really did enjoy that one.
Yeah,
I remember they got Stan Winston Studios to design the monsters.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Chat Freak says the first two Resident Evils. Yep, those were good.
For sure.
I always liked the third one. That was the only classic Resident Evil that I got into.
The third one probably was the scariest of them because it had Nemesis who would actually follow you through like load screens and shit.
I kind of hate that.
Well, the thing was, like, Resident Evil, the third, the Resident Evil 3's plot wasn't, you know, it wasn't significant.
To be fair to Resident Evil 3, it was originally called Resident Evil 3 The Last Escape, or Biohazard Last Escape.
It was named Resident Evil 3 because of a contractual thing with Sony. It's not the most story significant, but again, it's like the plot in Resident Evil games is kind of a joke anyway.
Yeah.
It is of the original three games, it is easily the most intense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, that whole Nemesis following you,
and it plays better, like with the quick turn and the dodge move and stuff like that, plays the best of the three.
Wasn't it the first Resident Evil to make use of a full 3D environment?
No, that was Code Veronica.
Yeah, Code Veronica.
Well, I think they had parts of it that were still like rendered complete 3D, but like only parts.
Everything in that game was pre-rendered. Everything in RE3 was pre-rendered.
What about you, Breakman?
Dino Crisis. Yeah, Dino Crisis was fully 3D.
Oh, Dino Crisis is a good game too. I like that game.
I never played Dino Crisis. That was Dinosaurs in Space.
Dino Crisis was good. Dino Crisis 2 was Don't play Dino Crisis 3.
Dino Crisis. Is the Dinosaurs in Space one with the world's worst camera in any game ever made.
Yep. Breakman, movie?
Even worse than Ninja Gaiden 2 because, fuck, I couldn't finish that game. The camera was so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I gotta get to my games.
I was gonna say Dead Space I thought was another good one. Ooh, but the monsters in that were all... Like, the boss fights were all the same was my biggest problem with that. Other than that, I thought it was a really good horror game.
I love Dead Space, man. Yeah. Dead Space 1 and 2 were awesome. 3 sucked. I didn't like 3 because they brought it out of space pretty much, but...
The second one added those little baby heads, right?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. And they were
fucking awesome. Like, that's good horror thing right there.
The first Dead Space is my favorite.
It is so good. The first Dead Space is. Like I said, my only problem with it is the fucking boss monsters were all basically the same.
Yeah. Freak5 says, not technically a horror game, but Dungeon of Doggeroth. Yeah, I could see that.
There's only one game that ever really scared the shit out of me, and it wasn't a horror game.
Oh, which one?
It was the original Wolfenstein 3D.
I thought you were going to say Barbie.
Basically, if you're playing like on a boss fight, and you get the the lights down, and you're before you come up to the boss, he just suddenly screams at you, like, coming for you.
Which game?
Original Wolfenstein?
Oh, yeah, Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein.
Like, that was scared the shit out of me. So like, I'd be killing zombies, and all of a sudden the boss is like,
I don't know, I'm coming for you.
All of a sudden there's a boss right in my face, and he screams at me, coming for you. I'm run away!
Yeah, that's
the original Doom freaking me out with all the really, really well done. That was actually the first game that had extremely well done stereo sound. Like, the sound design on that game was amazing.
That's why they did the same, basically. Yeah.
You know,
I'm just gonna say yeah.
Okay, I've got quite a few. I'm a huge horror fan, but you know, all the classics like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 the other day. And it's
like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yes,
that is a weird ass movie.
It's a weird movie, but I have now a better appreciation for it. I remember thinking at the time that I saw it the first time that I didn't like it because it didn't have anything really to do with the first movie all that much. But I think now it's actually kind of a morbid, scary movie. Like it was. I watched it, like, what, 2-3 days ago, and I don't remember it being as scary as it turned out to be. Now, there were...
It has its charms. It's a little... Yeah. It's a little more weird than it is good.
Yeah.
It is definitely entertaining.
Yeah, it's not the greatest horror movie in the world, but I think if you haven't seen it, or you haven't seen it in a long time, you should watch it again. I'm a fan of all the Saw movies, except for I think it was 5 that sucked really bad.
5 was not really good.
Yeah,
at all.
Five was not the best. I want to see Jigsaw. If I had money, I'd go see that today. But anyways, let's see what else.
We'll probably go see that and what's it, Suburbicon today. So we can report on those next week.
All right. I really, really thought that Fatal Frame, the first game, was probably one of the scariest games I've ever played in my life.
Jesus Christ. I haven't played any of those yet.
Fatal Frame, like, to me...
Fatal Frame, it's a lot scarier if you can hear the Japanese audio.
Yes.
Awful.
Oh, and also...
The game itself is terrifying.
The sound is the best of any game I've ever played in my life. If you have a surround sound system, it is fucking awful to play, like in a good way. Like
actually, what I've heard is that Fatal Frame 2 is like, it's commonly regarded as like the fan favorite of the series.
Oh god, Fatal Frame 2 is awesome too, man. Fatal Frame 2 is really, really fucking good. But I still remember to this day playing Fatal Frame 1 and like almost literally like dropping my controller. It was that, you know, kind of jump scary, like, I don't know.
What was that PlayStation game, original PlayStation, where you basically could only hide? Is there's a serial
clock
killer
tower?
Building?
Clock
it says
tower?
Clock Tower.
Oh, Clock Tower.
Yeah.
Clock
Tower. That's a sequel to Clock Tower for the Super Famicom.
Oh,
that's actually
God,
Clock
so
Tower
good.
2.
Yeah, Clock Tower. And Clock Tower 3 I remember being pretty good too.
Don't play the American Clock Tower 2. It's awful. It has nothing to do with Clock Tower.
I loved Silent Hill 2. I know that might be unpopular with you, Mug.
Oh,
but...
Dungeon Buster brings up Condemned. I'm sorry, Frank.
Oh, Condemned is
a
great
game.
Condemned is
a game, yeah.
Wow, Condemned is a great game. I'm glad you brought that one up. That's...
I've heard it's got issues. I'd rather just watch a Let's Play.
No, dude, play the game. It's fine.
The original Condemned has not aged super well.
Oh,
I mean, visually, it's just
good.
Like, it's pretty rough around the edges.
So good, so good.
Actually, another one that's like, it's not really a scary game, but it certainly has like this, the creepy sort of vibe to it, is the original The Darkness.
The Darkness, yeah. I played The Darkness 1. I didn't play it all the way through, but it is. It does have a kind of...
Oh, what about Eternal Darkness?
Oh, that's a great one!
Yeah, there you go.
That is one of my
actually.
All-time favorite games. You win
I
the internet
either,
today.
But it was a fun game.
Oh, God, man. I love that game, man. I thought it was pretty scary, too. I need to go back and play that.
How about Blood Omen, The Legacy of Kain?
Blood Omen? That's a good one. It's not super
this
scary.
This isn't a
but...
horror game, but... How about the entire Sith Academy section of the original Knights of the Old Republic?
Yeah, that I can see that. I like as far
so
as
I played through Knights of the Old Republic, I don't remember that bit.
You know, one of my now favorite scary movies of all time is Get Out. Get Out is a great fucking movie,
yeah,
man.
It is a damn good movie. I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
It still gives me the chills when I see it. I've seen that movie literally like 4 or 5 times already, and I know it's a newer movie, but it deserves, in my opinion, to be on the pantheon of great scary movies, because it's kind of icky. It gives you that icky, weird kind of, like, you've been kidnapped feeling during the whole
thing. Oh, and actually, just as an aside, I'm just looking at stuff on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
They've got their Sale of the Dead thing going on. Mm-hmm. And one of the games on sale this week is the digital version of Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain. They're selling it for $1.79.
Oh, that's you got to get out and buy that right away.
I think Soul Reaver's a better series.
Soul Reaver's good, too.
I prefer Legacy of Kain.
But Legacy of Kain, Legacy of Kain was kind of, it's mechanically, it could really do with like kind of a modernized remake,
yeah,
just to smooth out some of its rough edges.
Yeah.
But it's still especially if you like well done story and really and good writing and good voice acting, it's like you really can't go wrong with that game.
Yeah.
Michael Caine.
Yeah. Wyland linked us a picture of the first images of the new actor playing Pinhead. I didn't know there was going to be a new Hellraiser movie, but apparently there is.
I didn't know that either, but I'm going to pull it up right now. Those are great movies. I like the first one.
Phil, disappoint you.
I was going to say, like, the first one is still great. The rest is like, Hellraiser 2 is like, oh, okay, it's still got good points. And the rest of the series is just like, very hit or miss, mostly a lot of misses.
I like 1 through 3. I know 3 gets a lot of flack, but I like 3 because they did really good job with the design of the Cenobites in that one.
I was gonna say, like, that's the only thing I really care about. Like, I just want to see like the cool ass Cenobites.
And there was a really hot chick at the beginning.
Those were the ones where like you had the fucking CD Cenobite and the guy with the camera for an eye and shit. Those were terrible designs.
No, those were great, man.
That one is the one that I've probably seen the most.
I don't know, I still like those.
Part of Hellraiser 3 was the art thing, the statue thing that was like the giant
statue was awesome.
Down.
The hot chick at the beginning too, that blonde, I always remember that as being like, one of the reasons I would watch that.
Curve.
Yeah, but let's see, Hellraiser 1 through 3 I liked, let's see, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1 and 2, I didn't like the remake.
Fucking modern sequel thing.
Yeah, it was
Texas Chainsaw.
Just,
God.
The actress
was awesome, just mostly because she was ridiculously fucking gorgeous.
Yeah,
But she was literally the only good thing in that entire movie. I was like, this is fucking unbearable.
Which one? I'm sorry, which one are you talking about?
Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. The chick in it was... Yeah.
The girl, she had that raven, like this wavy raven black hair and these gorgeous like ice
blue eyes. Yep.
And she was just like stunningly beautiful. Yep. I mean, it's not even just like, wow, she's hot.
Whatever happened to that chick? Because she
was, man,
she was something else for sure, man. No question about it.
Yeah, she was literally the one good thing in that movie. Just like, okay, it's like, at least she's nice to look at. Otherwise, I would turn this off.
So it's like the Power Rangers movie.
I used to have a big time crush on Ashley Lawrence. I don't know if you got that from Hellraiser. I thought she was hot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Freak 5 is exiled. So there you go.
Yeah. Speaking of Freak 5, apparently I completely forgot. I'm sorry, Freak 5. You mentioned it and I read it out loud and everything, but episode 100 of Zombies Anonymous was just past week. He's gonna release it online this weekend.
Make sure,
but there was a contest, and I apologize, Freak. I forgot. He only had 2 contestants enter, and because not many people entered, he's now got ship it to Australia.
Oh man, listen to that show. They talk zombies, zombie movies. I love them too. Night of Living Dead, all time classic. I think that film still holds a lot of relevance to right now. Dawn of the Dead, I, of that trilogy, I think Dawn of the Dead is the most not thought about, but I really like Dawn of
the
Dead.
No, dude. No. Dawn of the Dead is the fan favorite.
I like Dawn of the Dead.
It was remade because it was the fan favorite, and the remake was good, too.
You know what I'm thinking of? I mean,
my personal favorite was always Day of the Dead.
Yeah, see, I was going to say.
The writing, and I loved Bub.
Yes, that's what I meant. Day of the Dead is the one that doesn't get a lot of credit, but I love that movie. Okay. That's the one. We used to have a show called Dead Men Talking, and part of the intro, there was that. Do you remember the scene with that asshole military guy that got kind of ripped apart and all he was so fucking he was an asshole to the end. He was my favorite character.
The actor's name is Joe Pilato, but the character's name is Rhodes.
And if for those who don't know what he was saying choke on him.
Choke on him.
Yep, choke on him. Because I had a lot of people ask me about that, but he actually said choke on him. Like, as the guts are being pulled from his insides, he's telling the people, or the zombies, choke on him! You know the story of that scene, right? I know that
they
used like real like kind of pig guts or something that stunk.
But do you know about what? Why that was? Well, in and of itself, it was a fine idea because you use the real thing, you get authentic splatter and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming Eric and Brake haven't seen this, but basically, it's like he's getting torn apart. So he's like,
I've seen the clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like at the bottom of his body is buried in the
Wait, what are we talking about again? Are we still on Day of the Dead?
Yep, Day of the Dead.
Yeah, Day of the Dead. Okay. But it's like the bottom of his body is buried in the ground and like the floor is built up around him. And there's a fake body attached to his torso that the zombies are going to rip open and pull his guts out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what happened was they were using like real pig intestines that they got from a butcher and they kept in a fridge and everything. Yeah. But what happened was everyone went like one weekend. I think it might have been a week, but they broke shooting for however many days.
Yeah.
But what nobody realized was that right before, right as everyone was leaving, if it was either a breaker or something got unplugged, but either way, the power for the refrigerator that was keeping the guts from rotting.
Yep. Yeah.
Died. Yep. So they were, by that point by the time they got back, they smelled like rotting intestines, which is what they were.
Yep.
But they were on such a tight budget, they had to just go ahead and use them.
Yep.
So
yep.
What they were having to do, they were putting this perfume and menthol and shit under Joe Pilato's nose, just because it was just like I've seen footage and they're doing the shot and he's going like. He's screaming and everything, and then
because
it
stinks.
He's being a trooper, but it's like they say cut, and you just see him do this, he turns his head to the side, and he just shudders, and I was like, oh dude,
I'm
so sorry. It's like you cannot help but feel bad for him knowing that.
I remember and that everyone, story, dude.
And everyone in the set is like, the zombies in there are sitting there like. Fanning him, waving their hands in front of him, trying to get the smell away from him and everything. Oh man, and he's stuck there. He literally cannot move.
He can't move from that position. Yeah, I remember that story, man. It was an awful story. If you want, this is for all the people with kids that are listening. If you want some good kid movies to watch, I think Shaun of the Dead would be in that vein. The Others with Nicole Kidman would be a good one to show your kids.
Zombieland.
Zombieland
would be a very good choice.
Let's see. Another one that I had in mind. The Sixth
Killer Sense. Clowns.
Killer Clowns is a great one. My daughter loves the Killer Clowns. That and Return of the Living Dead are her favorite movies of all time. Oh, and...
I gotta duck out, okay?
Okay, man. Creature from the Black Lagoon, Dracula, Wolfman, Invisible Man, all those, old classic horror movies, those would be great to show the kids. Let's see, Night of Living Dead 3D would not be one to show to your kids. That's from Freak 5 with Sid Haig. I haven't seen that movie. I heard okay things about it.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, great.
Ghostbusters is one of my favorite movies.
Any of the Ghostbusters movies would be fine for kids. Definitely Monster Squad. God damn, I love that movie.
Gremlins would be another good one for kids.
Yeah, Gremlins. If we're not talking kids again.
The Gate.
The Gate's a good one for kids. It's kind of scary, though.
Everyone should see Gremlins 2 because it is
Dark
one of the
Crystal's
best
kinda scary.
Made.
Yeah, Gremlins 2. Evil Dead series, of course.
Gremlins 2 invented meta. Just saying.
You know what I wish they would do with...
Evil Dead series.
Yep.
What about
Evil Dead series, they're hands down, is the best.
What?
Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal's another good one. The Blob, that's a great one. You know what I wish they would do with the Evil Dead?
Just don't listen to the theme movies, song. Really.
You know what I wish they would...
You said most of them, but you know, I'd like to include Resident Evil 4.
Okay. You know what
Resident Evil 2.
Okay, you done, Eric? Because that's probably the fourth time I've tried to get out this
segment. There was some of them.
There was...
Whatever, Frank.
Fuck, man. I can't remember. I had a really great movie. Son of a bitch. Oh, well. It'll come to me as soon as I end the show.
Was it The Evil Dead?
No.
Evil Dead 2. Oh, Evil Dead 2, which is basically a remake of the first one.
No, but it did have to do with The Evil Dead. I wish they would do a Telltale series on The Evil Dead. I think that would be really, really fucking cool.
I want Evil Dead show to come to, like, Hulu or something so I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the remake of Blair Witch, the new Blair Witch. I thought it was actually pretty fucking good.
Here's one, the Castlevania anime.
Yeah.
That's so good. I hate Blair Witch. After the first movie, I will not see anything fucking Blair Witch.
Oh, dude.
Blair Witch is the worst fucking movie ever.
No way. Not the new one.
The original Blair Witch is one of the worst movies ever.
It's such a
terrible movie.
It hasn't aged well. At the time, I thought it was scary because I saw it at the theater.
Well, the only reason they were able to market it and get away with it is they tried to convince people that it was real.
Well,
why is Weiland saying Evil Dead 2 is in a remake?
It's not really a remake.
I said it was basically. I didn't say it was. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
They don't want to call it a remake, but basically it was just a redo of the original.
Yeah, see, look, Weiland agrees with me. The new Blair Witch is good. I thought it was good, too. I liked it quite a bit.
Would you consider any of the Blade films, like...
Yeah, vampires, horror? Dude. Vampires, of course.
Weren't the Blade films more action, though?
No.
But you can have action and horror.
Blade is a vampire, dude. Of course it would be Halloween related.
I never saw Blade 3, Blade 2. I feel it wasn't as good as Blade 1.
No, Blade 2 was
great. Don't
watch
the third one, just kind of didn't happen.
Even though it was still awesome.
The third one
Blade
sucked.
2 is one of those rare sequels where the sequel is better than the original.
Oh, God. The Blade 2, you know why that is? One of my all-time favorite directors, Guillermo del Toro, directed Blade 2. So... that's why you got a really good.
Anyone want to see a Del Toro less movie of a Pacific Rim?
I'm down, but I want to see Del Toro's Shape of Water. That's the one that I want to see.
Isn't that the Creature from the Black Lagoon movie?
Sort of. It's in the vein of that, but I think it's got a love story. One that nobody talk about around Halloween, but I think is an excellent film that everybody should watch near Halloween, or if you're a Halloween fan, is The Devil's Backbone. It's a subtitle. Great movie. That movie's so good. Kronos is another one if you like those type of movies. Anything from Cronenberg. Nightbreed, the extended edition is really good. Not the theatrical cut. That was awful.
Did we call Blade Runner a horror movie?
No.
That's a science fiction movie, dude. But
you made me completely forget what I was going to say. You threw me off. What the hell, man?
Oh, another one for kids. Critters. That would be a good one to watch.
Oh, no, that movie's terrible.
No, it's a good kids movie. Dude.
It's better than Ghoulies, though.
Ghoulies is another one. That movie's terrible, but good for kids for sure, man. Let's see. What else?
I don't know if movies that are still violent are considered good for kids, though.
Dude, nowadays kids have seen almost everything, and if you don't expose your kids to stuff like that, then they
there are sheltered kids though. Yeah,
Eric, I'm not saying you should keep kids sheltered. It's just
old kids we're talking about.
Are you saying ooh cat people? No, that was not a good movie.
Oh, dude, no, that's good. People Under the Stairs. Yeah, I agree
with
you.
What movie I thought was really creepy was What Lies Beneath.
Has anybody watched any of the Junji Ito film adaptations?
Yes, I have.
So you've seen
that freaks us all the Leprechaun movies.
I've seen Uzumaki, but what's it like?
I like the Leprechaun movies, but I watched him like I was saying about Scream 3. Scream 3, like, I watch that kind of the same way as the Leprechaun movies. I watch the Leprechaun movies as comedies.
Yeah, Cat's Eye is a good movie. I wouldn't recommend kids watch that.
Oh, Cat's Eye was that anthology movie, right?
It had three stories. One was
one is really good.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Especially the story with that little monster trying to kill that kid.
Yep, little elf.
Oh my, that is an amazing movie. Good call, Freak.
Yeah. It's a good movie. Hold on. Before you get to your question, Eric, let me get this movie out. If you haven't seen a movie called Creep, watch it. It's fucking creepy. But yeah, Creep is a good one.
The title.
Cabin in the Woods, good. Creep Show, Dungeon Buster says. What were you going to say, Eric?
Okay, so Blade Runner's considered sci-fi. Could I don't know, maybe I could bend the rules a bit and say Akira is a horror movie?
I mean, because he does morph into like a giant monster that's destroying everything.
Yeah. So it's kind of a psychological horror up until, especially to that point.
Yeah, I mean, he
does murder all those innocent people when he's like getting his powers in graphic and horrible ways. I mean, yeah.
I like Cabin in the Woods.
Okay. I can get behind that one as a horror movie.
I like Cabin in the Woods okay. I thought it was a little overrated, but I didn't mind it. It didn't offend me. So, you know. Freak says he hasn't seen cat people since the 80s. Yeah,
that's a Stephen King movie, isn't it?
No, it is not.
No, it is not. Okay. Either way, it's terrible.
Yeah. You know what movie that
has anybody seen? Metropolis?
It's good. Masterpiece. Watch it.
I only watched the anime adaptation though.
You gotta watch the original.
I heard there's like two different versions of the original film.
There could be.
Like one of them was heavily edited.
I've seen almost everything. So
how do I find the not so heavily edited version?
How could I forget Puppet Master, man? God,
It's still heavily edited, but
The one thing I remember from the Puppet Master series, that I don't know if it was one, two, or three, but there was this black haired chick in it. I always remember the chicks in these movies, of course, but oh man,
I don't think that's the third one.
I think it was.
I don't think so. One or two. I'm thinking.
Yeah, there what was about, this, Fido. That's a good one, Fido.
What about the Twilight Zone movie?
Oh, it's not good per se, but it there's one story in there that is okay. But if you're looking for a good anthology, find VHS 2. The second story in that is about this cult, and I love that story. I think it's
scary. But the movie's called VHS.
VHS 2. There's two VHS movies. They're both anthology movies. What's that? Oh, Trick or Treat. If you haven't seen Trick or Treat, that's a good anthology movie for sure. What else? There's so many. We could go on.
I forget.
Tales from the Crypt. And,
yes, Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Demon Knight and Demon Bordello of Blood. Although Bordello of Blood's the silly.
Yeah, Bordello Blood's just silly. I kind of like Bordello Blood.
I like basically everything Tales from the Crypt except for the last season.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the show.
Tales from the Dark Side, the series, was fucking awesome, too. If you want
Tales from the Hood.
Tales from the Hood I liked. I liked that movie, actually.
It just seems so bizarre and stupid, but I might want to watch it one day anyway.
If you want to see bizarre and stupid, there's Leprechaun in Space and then Leprechaun
in Legend.
Oh, Legend's a good one, dude. Legend, I'm glad you brought... That's a good one to show kids, too. It's kind of scary for kids, though. Tales from the Crypt, for sure. Let's see. What else? It, the new version, really good. Sleepaway Camp.
Who says just a Sleepaway Camp?
Sleepaway Camp is a good scary movie, man.
Isn't it like the mother of horror movies though, where it's just absolutely ridiculous?
It's not ridiculous, dude. It's actually really scary. It's really fucking scary, man. I don't want to spoil it for you, dude. There's a fucking twist in that movie that's probably one of the greatest twists in movies, period. So, I just watch it, dude. That's all I gotta say. Just watch it. God, there's so many Halloween
for kids. That stupid one with Adam Sandler.
Oh God.
How much more time Hotel do we have? Because we could talk about like music too.
Oh, we got a few minutes, man. Go ahead, unless you guys have something.
He's talking about somebody Tales from the Hood, and I was just thinking, I don't know why it reminded me of that, but Nightmare on My Street.
Shitty horror theme movie that you should see. It's Transylvania 65,000.
Yeah, or 6500 or whatever the fuck that movie was. There was if you want a good vampire movie that's kind of offbeat, watch the foreign film Let the Right One In. The American version was fine. It was good too. But the foreign one's really good. It's not for kids. Even though it involves kids, it's definitely not for kids. Halloween 1 and 2. I personally like 2 quite a bit. 3 gets a bad rap because it's not really anything to do with Michael Myers. But I did like 4. 5 not so much, and everything else not so much.
What sequel was the mind control sequel to a franchise?
3. That was Halloween 3.
Okay.
Season of the Witch. Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was a good movie on its own, but if you put it in the Halloween series, it didn't stack up at all. Yeah.
I don't think it was good itself. Like, it was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's a good movie, but it's different. It's not great, but it shouldn't have been in the Halloween series. What were you going to say, Eric?
What about The Burbs?
I never saw that.
I guess it's a kid movie. I saw The Burbs in the theater. That's how old I am.
Weiland says three is great.
I know it's not a horror movie, but I thought it was pretty freaky at the end of Fletch Lives.
I remember when Tom Hanks was funny.
Wait, Poltergeist? Really? Oh, I forgot about Child's Play.
Poltergeist.
If you guys have not seen, I have a newfound respect.
Oh, there you go, Frank. Weiland agrees with you. He liked the third Halloween.
Yeah, I told you, 3 is great. I
got him on your side.
I saw the original Child's Play.
Freak 5 says Child's Play series. I have a new renewed vigor for that franchise because the last two movies that they made for Child's Play are fucking amazing, especially Curse of Chucky. Curse of Chucky is fucking phenomenal. It's a great horror movie. If you haven't seen that, I would put it on your list immediately. To me, Child's Play, The Curse of Chucky was fucking amazing. It tied in all the movies in such a great way. It so good, so good. Cult was good.
Freak brings up now it's back. The Walking Dead season premiere was just this last week.
I did not like the first episode. So hopefully it'll get better this season. I wasn't a fan of the first episode this season, but yeah, The Walking Dead.
I like it. I quite enjoyed it. Yeah. Actually,
I wasn't.
A lot of horror movies you shouldn't see. Species.
I like Species because
yeah, you should see Species. She's naked a lot in that movie.
That has nothing to do with the actual content of the film itself.
Who cares?
Jennifer Tilly is fucking hot, man, and she can play poker like a motherfucker. I don't know if you've ever seen Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, and it's not a horror movie, but you should watch Bound. You don't have to watch the whole movie; you can just fast forward.
Yeah, just get to the naked.
I personally didn't like the movie for the most part, but you can just fast forward.
Yeah, same thing with Showgirls. You know, you can just fast forward to get to the boobs.
Yes, that's exactly.
There are a lot of people like poop on Call of Chucky. Yeah.
So anyway,
you know what? Everybody hates Showgirls, but I like Showgirls.
Yeah. I liked it for how campy it was, and plus,
it was. I don't know. Berkeley. Never mind. What were we talking about? Horror movies?
Elizabeth Berkeley.
What were we talking about?
Have we gotten way over at this point?
No, but anyway, like The Walking Dead. Like I fucking love Negan, man. Like they picked the perfect when they announced him as the actor to play Negan. Like I threw a party, and he has met all of my expectations.
He was really good.
Love
in
him,
dude. Have you seen a show called Magic City? Jeffrey Dean Morgan was in that. He was good in that. It was really good.
He is a good actor. Like there was we were watching some horror movie he was in where he was the killer, and we were rooting for him the whole time. Like that, he was the only thing good about the movie. Like everything else sucked. Like come on, killer. Killer.
Yeah, he's really good, man. Weiland says Alien. I would put that in a horror category for sure. The first Alien.
Yeah, Alien, Aliens. There's a lot of horror elements to Aliens.
Aliens, I would probably put solidly in the action sci-fi category.
Well, but right. Alien, the first one, is definitely a horror movie. But the second one, like, I think that's kind of debatable. There are definitely elements of horror, like... At first, it seems like they're gonna be able to fight this.
I don't know. I put the first Predator more over the Aliens.
I love the first Predator.
I liked the first Predator too.
Yeah, we did kind of start late, but like considering when we actually did start, we are over.
Yeah, we gotta go, guys. We could talk about this shit all day for sure, but it's been really really fun. Eric, let's start with Breakman plugs.
Well, Jesus, about everything we talked about today, you can plug and follow all that stuff. Follow me at @break_man and at @RPGrinders and, pledgeit.org, donate away hate. I don't think I actually announced the whole website, but, pledgeit.org and it's /DonateAwayHate. And they're the ones who are... They're happily protesting against Richard Spencer.
I like the way you said...
A new approach. I love it. I'm down for it. I hope it works. I don't know.
I like the way you said W. That was... W. That was very Eastern of you, man. That was
did good. I say W in there?
You said W. I liked it. Brought me back to...
There's... Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Eric, your plug, sir.
Well, first, before I do a plug, I do have a stinko. And the Stinko was great. Now I can't remember. that's my Stinko. I can't remember, but
The Omen's a good one. Exorcist. I forgot about Exorcist. Poltergeist, not so much.
Yeah,
but Poltergeist. Sweet is discount candy for Halloween. But you can find other reviews that I've done. All the reviews, and I've done on sites like BostonBasherBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, and I've got like at least two up on TotallyGN this week, and hopefully I'll be getting the Yomawari review up before Halloween. I'm not sure if I will, but that's another good horror game that I wanted to mention that I didn't have time to mention. But
Babadook is good.
So you should check out Yomawari and Yomawari Midnight Shadows. That's the sequel. Mm-hmm. But and then there's also my YouTube page, Funny T-Man, and I'm thinking of doing. Like I said, I'm gonna try to get a Let's Play of Contra, maybe Super Contra up.
All right.
Because aliens are kind of scary too. So
there you go. All right. Anything else, Eric?
You can find me on Twitter at EricRPG.
Yeah.
Oh, Freak says you can plug him on PayPal at Freak5Cast@Yahoo. So,
yeah.
There you go.
If you want to support,
you can plug him if you want.
If you want to support debauchery,
if you want to go plug a freak. There you go.
There you go. Life Force Dungeon Buster, dude. We need to hang out.
That's a game.
Man.
Yeah.
No, the movie.
Some movie.
That reminds me, Abadox is a good horror
game. I love
game.
Abadox. That's a great game, Abadox.
Life Force had one of the best NES endings, I think, of any game. Mm. If you don't remember the end of it, basically you die at the end. You sacrifice yourself for the entire to save everyone else. You win, but you die. Like, it was just, it was like, oh, that's cool. That's something unique.
I think that kind of happened in one of the R-Type endings. Or no, one of the Darius endings.
I thought of a couple more movies and stuff, but now they escape my, you know, out to the ether. But anyways, my plugs are as follows. Follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches, at RP Grinders, as Breakman said. If you want to join the show live, we would love to have you in chat on YouTube, or you can view us on wickedradionetwork.com. You can see us on twitch.com. You can see us on ustream.com. So any of the outlets, pretty much iTunes after the fact. But if you want to join us live, it's every Saturday, 3 Eastern time. Stay safe this weekend. Have a good, happy Halloween. Enjoy the time that you have with your kids on Halloween, because it's one of the few days where you know. Go ahead, Eric.
That just reminded me of something I heard over this week about how Fox News is trying to caution parents to check your child's candy to see whether or not it's got roofies in it, or you know, marijuana, especially
fucking
marijuana.
Stupid. That's the dumbest thing. If somebody gave me marijuana.
There's a stinko.
Does that happen in Colorado? Is that the kind of candy you pass out there?
You know what? If you came to my house, I just might. Not to kids, you know, because I'd get in trouble.
Here's some roofies.
What are you doing in my house, dude? You're a trick-or-treater. What the hell?
Trick-or-bong, man. Come on.
Here's a hookah.
That's the name of this episode. Trick-or-bong, man. All right. Stay safe this weekend, everybody.
It's food quest.
Eric. Jesus, let me get through it. All right. Stay safe this weekend, everybody. You know. If you're going out trick-or-treating with the kids, be safe. Make sure they have all the safety attire that they need, because sometimes they don't look before they jump out into the street. You know, we want to see you back here next weekend. You know, just be safe. Don't do anything stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're in Denver...
Well, don't listen to him. Do stupid stuff. That's the fun stuff.
Yeah, like shout Candyman's name in the dark bathroom.
If you happen to be in Denver and you get drunk on Halloween or this weekend, catch me on Twitter. I'll pick you up. I have a car. I want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody.